Welcome to Whispers, everybody, on AM 1600 WKKX. It is 8:10 p.m. This is our first show of the new year.
It certainly is.
And Lola's sick. Uh-huh. Lola, you're always sick for our show.
We're always sick around here. Sherry was very, very sick. And I know her husband was out of town, out of state, actually, and sick as a dog. Her son was sick all the time, so I'm just praying this is it. This is all I get, because otherwise, I have too much students with me. I can't play around with that.
Why not?
I know. Don't tempt me, because it wouldn't take much.
Well, how much longer till we get the new puppy?
I don't know. They told me 2 weeks, and that was Monday, because they have to give her a second round of parvo, make sure she survives that, and then they have to fix it.
Yeah.
So it'll be, I'm hoping next weekend. I'm going to go out puppy shopping this weekend. I'll get her.
Oh, you got to get the cage and all the toys.
Yes. Auntie Janie already dropped me off a pink leash and some treats and a chew toy. So, yeah, I'm getting set. But my poor kitties, they're the ones that are going to have some trauma in their life. But I'll get over it.
How many cats do you have?
Two.
Two cats and a dog?
So Lola is not the crazy cat lady, because she only has two cats.
Well, at least the cats will be able to team up against the puppy.
Well, that's
true.
They
try to keep their turf war going. Yeah.
Well, the Austin knows he's king of the house, and if I do the integration right, it really shouldn't be too bad, but, you know, you never know. You never know how it's going to go. She's really socialized, Gretchen, that's my puppy's name, because at the animal shelter, they just let the dogs that are socialized, they all just kind of meander around, and there's cats roaming around. So they're all really, you know, really well-behaved inside. Now, when I took her for a walk, there were a couple of cats outside, and she kind of wanted to charge at them, but I think it was to play. I don't, you know, it wasn't that aggressive kind of red zone stuff. It was, you know, I think she just wanted to play. So it's going to be, you know, I'm going to crate her and let the cats just wander in and smell her and get used to her being there before.
Get a little scent action going on.
Yes.
When you mentioned the dogs meet, you know, like all in the same area for social, there's something like a flashback to this like prison scene, you know. You're like looking out over the prison yards and they're all like out there doing their exercise. There's some tough dogs on the side.
That's about what it looks like. I'm not kidding. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm not a cat person, but I was watching my cousin was over, Jordan's brother. He was over getting something recorded, and we were watching some videos on my DVR, and I had this cat video, and something like red light, green light, and this person's behind the couch with a video camera, and this cat's way off in the distance, walking towards him. Whenever he'd come out, the cat would stop, you know, and the video camera's on, and he'd go back in, and then he'd go back out, and the cat would, like, have been a little bit forward and stop again. And it was like, every time he did it, the cat was getting closer and closer, and eventually, you know, and then you see it stepping over stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's like right there, you know. And it was one of the funniest videos I've seen in a while.
Cats are sneaky. Like,
they are.
Cats are sneaky little animals.
This is like a ninja cat.
They're always plotting on you. That's why I don't like cats. Cats scare me. They plot on it.
That was a cat horror movie.
Give us a call tonight, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, 866-514-1600. We got a little bit of news. We got an email from Gerald.
A little bit of sad news.
Yeah, sad news from Gerald White, who did our Moon Hoax show. He talked about a book, NASA Mooned America, by a man named Ralph René. And Ralph René passed away.
Aww.
He was 75 years old. Garrison, and like I really, you know, was hoping he'd, you know, get him to go on your show for an interview. He passed away. He's going to be scattering his ashes, he said, in New Jersey in June. So it's you know, a little bit of sad news. I actually got a video that Jared, of course, loves, you know, really good at making videos. He made a video tribute kind of to him. I've actually got it up on our website if anyone wants to go and see that.
Just pay a little homage.
You know, pick up his book and read it. You know, pay a little more homage. NASA Mooned America. I'm gonna try to find a link to that.
His name again was Ralph René, and Jared described him as a valued individual in the Moon Hoax. movement.
Okay. So. Well, that is it.
So condolences to your friends.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Bad time to pass away.
Yeah, it is. It's
any kind of bad. Holidays are fun.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of that, how was your holiday?
Mine was good. A circus.
Circus yeah. holiday?
Mine was a circus as well. Yeah. It was just, it's a lot of fun. Holidays get you really tired.
Yes, they do.
I was between everywhere. We had 3 or 4 different parties to go to. To make them rounds to the different families. But you had people come in.
Oh, yeah. 7 people, 3 cats, 1 dog, and a bird.
Any gift?
That's a lot of
fun. Any gifts you got that are notable? I mean, you think anybody could give you anything?
No, we kept it. We really did not, you know, do that this year. Because it was all adults and, you know. And
adults times, like toys.
I know, but
Jordan got a, what was it? You got an Iron Man thing?
I got an Iron Man mask. And like a little thing I could put on my hand that shoots little discs. I'm a big kid.
Did you have a Spider-Man web hand too?
No, I didn't get that. But my brother got a Stormtrooper helmet.
Cool.
So you can imagine us on Christmas morning, me and my Iron Man mask and him and his Stormtrooper.
His dad had a Batman mask that glowed. And like
really?
Eyes lit up, yeah.
We're kids.
I guess so. Well, you were down south too, weren't you?
Yeah, well, this was after because I had Christmas up here with my dad, and then I went down to Myrtle Beach to have Christmas with my mom.
Beach.
Nice and warm.
Warm.
Oh, man. It was like 76 the whole time.
We had one day that was 70.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was beautiful. The Saturday after Christmas.
Vinegar.
Yeah, immediately.
What happened to that?
We had one beautiful day. I went out, took the girl for a walk a bunch of times that day. I mean, it was just wonderful.
We need to talk about our pen trip.
Okay.
Yeah?
Trip to
Everybody
the WV
keeps
pen.
Asking me about that.
Well, I need to go over. Well, we've got to get some money together real quick and go over and actually pay for it.
If you are interested in going on a ghost hunt with Jordan Klein, Nick Queen, and Lola Miller.
Yeah. And we're shooting for the summer, I think. We're going to try our best to get into the summer. Sometime in the summer.
Depending, because I'm going to Brazil.
Okay.
What?
Missions trip.
Oh! For how long?
Just a week.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll get down there.
I'll have to find.
It depends on what part.
That's like, true.
Jordan,
we see you clear up on the Amazon.
Jordan
you know.
Is not a rainforest person.
You'll see me laying in the corner of a hut crying.
Save me. I really want to be on Survivor. I didn't really.
Remember what Martin Walk said? Listen to people. They say, don't touch that. Don't touch it.
Touch
that. Yeah, just real quick safety tip. Don't touch any frog. Don't jump in the river. But if you are
interested in going to the pen with us and going on a ghost hunt, it will be an all-night trip. We'll get there at, 10, 11 o'clock at night?
I think 11.
And we'll be there until 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. It is an all-night trip. If you are interested, let us know, either by email, whispers1600@gmail.com, or call us here at the station, 304-214-1600. It's not just local people. If you're out of the area and you want to come, let us know. We'll make sure we get everything scheduled and help you the best we can.
If you need a hotel room, we'll put you in contact with wherever you would need to go.
We're shooting for just $40.
Yeah.
Usually places there other tours are charging. Is it like $70 now?
Something like that.
Like $70 for the trip. We're wanting to kind of keep it smaller, but we're just doing $40 for the whole trip.
And that'll just pay us back for the money we put into it.
And with that, we're wanting to make sure we get everybody some equipment to use during the thing. So if you're interested, please let us know.
And, we just got 2 people signed up.
All right.
And so I'm hopefully, I'm starting student teaching this coming semester. So hopefully I'll have a chance to actually go out and get that taken care of next week. It's been busy.
So we'll let you know the dates as soon as possible. I'm hoping around May.
I think Sammy. I know Sammy's.
I think John said at one point that he wanted to go. You wanted to go, of course.
No, well, Lola has no choice.
I think Steve mentioned that he wanted to go. So we'll have a bunch of different people going.
So you're going to be hanging out with some guys at the radio station.
I don't want to sign these people up and not go, or they're like, no, I'm not going to the prison.
It'll be fun. It'll be exciting.
Oh, I think so.
I think we're going to try to get the Chrysagus brothers to go.
It's going to be hilarious.
We got a video camera on them at all times. So.
Not, again, email us, whispers1600@gmail.com, and we'll make sure the more we can get confirmed, the better it'll be. Can we get our guest on the line?
Yes. You guys want to just talk amongst
yourself? Yeah, well, actually, I was going to mention we're a featured podcast on iTunes. I was going to thank everybody for subscribing on iTunes. I guess the Apple people for making us a featured podcast. I have no idea how.
It was a draw out of a hat there at the iTunes store.
We're in the social science category.
I sent him that check you told me.
Lola, not on the air. Not on the air.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
It's amazing what $20 will get you.
So if you're out there and if you're subscribed to iTunes, awesome. You get the check. You get our show. You get any updates that we do, any promos that we make. It all automatically subscribes to your site. So if you don't have it, what's your problem? Why haven't you subscribed yet? Lola's crying right now.
Don't be threatening.
You hear that? Save a Lola. Subscribe to Whispers. iTunes.
And if you're subscribed, let us know what you think of the show. You know, we have one person commented on there and said it was great. And I don't know exactly. I didn't memorize exactly.
That's because Nick found a way to delete all the bad comments.
Well, we have our guest, Tim Miller, is on the phone, so there you go, right?
All right, here we go. Tim Miller, president of the Flat Sign Press. He will be talking with newly released information concerning the JFK assassinations based on his discussions with President Ford. Tim, are you with us?
Yes, good evening. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful having you.
Right.
So where are you from, Tim? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do to kind of solidify what we're talking about.
I'll be happy to do that. My company and I are based in Nashville, Tennessee, and I own two companies. And the original company was a rare book company. I sell first editions and autographed books, and that goes back 11 years ago. And then 4.5 years ago, I started a publishing company, and that's Flat Sign Press. And my very first client was President Gerald Ford. I published what turned out to be his final book. And I had the opportunity and the pleasure of working with the late president and his staff over the period of about a year in putting together a book that he wrote and that I published. And we literally went back and forth over what even the final content of that book was going to be. And of course, at the time, he had final approval. And the new information is that my company, because we own the rights not only to the book that President Ford agreed to write under his name, but those things that he wanted redacted from the original book, I am now publishing those under my name so that the world can know what, not only what President Ford wanted the public to know, but what was cut out of the final draft that the public was never supposed to hear. So that's kind of the nutshell. And I guess the really interesting thing is that when I first started working with President Ford, I really didn't believe in the conspiracy theories. And the more I found out and the more information that I learned, the more I became a believer. And now I do believe there was a conspiracy to kill President Kennedy. And there's information in both the original book that President Ford wrote and the book that I wrote that gives a foundation to anybody who has an open mind on the subject to begin to wonder themselves, you know, how could these things happen, and was there a conspiracy? And I think the answer is yes.
And when you say he redacted these comments, what was his reasoning in the beginning for redacting, having them removed from the book?
There are many, many redactions, and those reasons ranged based, varying upon what was being cut out. Some were cut because he thought they were not germane to the subject, because the original book was a limited edition of only 3,000 books, and each one was hand-signed by President Ford. And only about 250 copies of those remain available, so that book is almost sold out. But he, because the original book was supposed to exclusively be on the John F. Kennedy assassination, just to give you one example, he did cut things out that were not germane to that topic, where I wanted him to talk about his other life's experiences that had nothing to do with John F. Kennedy assassination. Now, ironically, many things that had nothing to do with the JFK assassination were also left in that original book. For example, he talks about 9/11, and he talks about his relationship with former presidents, Carter and the original president, George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, and even George W. Bush. So he did go into other subjects in addition to the JFK assassination, but that was one of the reasons he used for cutting certain things out of that original book.
I'm sorry, Tim, but when was this book published?
The leather-bound, the signed limited edition was published in 2003, about a year and a half before he passed away.
What made him decide to do a book at that late date? I would have thought that he would have wanted to, like everybody else, write a book as soon as he was able to.
Well, now, he did write other books. President Ford, I'll give you a couple of examples. President Carter is really famous, or maybe even infamous, for writing a book every year. I think President Carter has written probably 20, 25 books since he was president. Gerald Ford wrote in his lifetime, I'm thinking, 4 or 5 books. And the reason he decided to write this book was it was an idea that I had, which was he had never written a book about the John F. Kennedy assassination. He wrote his autobiography, which was a bestseller, titled A Time to Heal, which was really about bringing the country together again after the controversy of Watergate. So now fast forward 25 years, I had the idea of why wouldn't he want to do a book on the John F. Kennedy assassination? And I had always, because I was already in the business of selling autographed books, why not put these pieces together and ask him if he would agree to sit down and sign 3,000 copies so that these would be high-end, exclusive investment, really, type books. And I put this idea in writing, and I overnighted it to his office. And it wasn't just like I came out from nowhere. He had already been signing books for me and my company a few at a time. He was very generous about doing that, not just for me, but for almost anyone who would send a letter and ask that he autograph a book for Joe Public. He was really kind about that. So I put together a letter and asked him what he thought of this idea. And within just a few days, I received a phone call from his chief of staff saying that the president loves the idea. Let's work out the details and let's do it. And that was one of the, you know, the biggest shocks of my life, that an idea could come to fruition so quickly in working with a former president. And I was really in awe and thankful for him that he would be willing to do such a project and help me as a publisher. Originally, Buzz Aldrin was going to be the first book that my company published, but we pushed Buzz Aldrin back.
That Buzz loved that.
Well, now, he went to the moon.
Now, I've seen him punch somebody on YouTube. You better watch it.
I saw that same thing, and it kind of worried me a little bit. Yeah.
Now, you also, I'm looking through your biography here, you also published a book by, what was his name, Harold Moore. When I saw that, I was a great guy. He wrote We Were Soldiers Once and Young. You guys might remember the movie with Mel Gibson. We Were Soldiers. They were looking at me a little bit.
I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, Colonel Moore, and he retired as a general, but everyone really remembers him as a colonel. He's still alive. He lives in Alabama. And my opinion is he is truly an American hero that I think may be one of the greatest. He is one of the greatest living American heroes out there. What he did in real life, that movie properly portrays. That movie did not exaggerate what Colonel Moore did. And to put it into a nutshell, he refused the orders of the command in Saigon to leave his men behind to be killed by what was then our enemy. And the morning afterwards, he led an assault, and he was able to save the lives of hundreds of his men that he had been ordered to leave behind. And, you know, it just makes me cry when I watch the movie and to know that the movie is true and it's not Hollywood, and that I've had the opportunity to get to know Colonel Moore over the last few years really makes me humble. I mean, he is a great man. And not necessarily a household name, but if you were in Vietnam or if you have a family member in Vietnam, that person knows the name Hal Moore. And for me to have published a book from Hal Moore makes me proud, too. And thank you for bringing it up. So that's a matching book, by the way, to the Gerald Ford book. All of the books I publish, including the Buzz Aldrin, are the type that you would imagine on a bookshelf in a very expensive library that are all signed by the author and leather-bound with all the bells and whistles that makes them heirloom quality books that you can pass down generation to generation.
Very good. Now, going back to Gerald Ford, what exactly, I know we've been talking about, you know, there's this information redacted. What do you think happened with the assassination of JFK? I know you said before you were someone who believed, Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I'm taking now you do not believe that. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
And I put together about a dozen different facts. And I even ran all of these facts by the person who is considered to be one of the greatest historians on this subject. And he wrote the book, Helter Skelter. But he also, just 2 or 3 years ago, wrote his own book about the John F. Kennedy assassination. And he came to the conclusion that the Warren Commission was totally correct. And I ran these facts by the gentleman who wrote Helter Skelter and then this follow-up book to the Warren Commission, who thinks that the commission got it exactly right. And he confirmed all of these facts for me. And I think anyone with common sense and just a little bit of street, simple logic has to come to the same conclusion. And I'll give you a few examples. Lee Harvey Oswald, most of us know, gave up his American citizenship, went to Russia, stayed there for about a year, and then came back to America. Now, at the height of the Cold War, imagine someone being able to go to Russia, tear up their passport, give up their citizenship. How could that person so easily come back into America? And assuming that got done, how is it possible that I am to believe that he wasn't being watched night and day by our government? These times today, it would be like knowing that Osama bin Laden went out of Afghanistan and our government knows it and then comes into the United States and then the government doesn't watch him. That's a little bit far-fetched for me to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald would be able to do such things and not be on 24-hour surveillance.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that how could he have gotten, I can't believe that the Russians would have allowed him to leave, number one, and him to leave with his wife. She didn't have the baby yet, but they were married. Look at these other people, these, the super spies that it ended up, you know, going to Mon. There is absolutely no way Russia would have ever let them out if they had wanted to leave.
I think you're exactly right, and that's just one of a school book depository. But is it? Are we to believe that it's just a coincidence that he was able to get a job with that type of a vantage point to be able to assassinate President Kennedy? And then are we supposed to believe that he was able to get off the four shots? And it has been proven that you can shoot the gun that many times in the time period, but I don't think that common logic tells us that the person would miss a fatal shot and then be fortunate enough to hit on the final shot. And then you bring in the whole Zagura film that, to me, logically shows the body moving in the opposite direction if he was shot from behind. And there's just so many other things that tells me that Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy. And here's the big thing. Oswald himself, and I know we're not supposed, we shouldn't just believe Oswald's words, but Oswald himself was shot on live television when he was told for the first time that he had been charged with the assassination. And then he said he was a patsy, and he looked forward to telling the public what he knew. And then before he had that chance, he was shot on live television himself by a mafia-connected figure. Now, Jack Ruby said he was simply saving Jackie Kennedy the embarrassment of having to come back to Dallas to testify against Oswald. If you know anything about Jack Ruby's history, you know that Ruby would not care about his grandmother.
Yeah, yeah.
So why would Jack Ruby commit murder on live TV when we know that he didn't care about anyone on earth but for himself? To me, that starts the mind working. And if you believe that Jack Ruby killed Oswald for any other reason than the kindness of his heart, there's a conspiracy. At least two people are involved already.
Well, what, though, this is the one thing that I've never really been able to figure out. What the hell did Jack Ruby get for doing this? I mean, obviously, did it on live film. He was caught immediately. I know he had cancer, but did he have family that somehow benefited? Or that's what I've never heard what Ruby could possibly have gotten in payment.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head, that he knew he was going to die, and that he knew that he could commit a murder, and by the time he was going to face execution, he would be dead from natural causes, and that in this way, he was able to repay the many favors that he had been gotten over the years from his friends in the mafia, and maybe he did get money to people, paid to people that he wanted to have money. Maybe just all of his past debts were paid for. But there's one. And one thing's for sure, you know, it cannot be believed that Jack Ruby did this to make it easier for Jackie. And I mean, no disrespect to Jackie Kennedy nor the Kennedy family. I think that they have given more maybe than any other family in America. Not just in their helping the public and being public servants, but in literally the lives of so many of the Kennedy family. So I mean no disrespect, but I do not believe Jack Ruby did this to make Jackie's life better. That's just unfathomable to me. And now here's the big piece of information. We now know that a gentleman who's connected to Watergate, on his deathbed, he confessed that he was in charge of the John F. Kennedy assassination. And his son witnessed that confession. As he lay there with his last breath, he said that he was responsible for overseeing the operation. And then he worked for the CIA and then went on to be in charge of Watergate. And that's E. Howard Hunt. So E. Howard Hunt confessed to being in charge of the Kennedy assassination, and his son is now, just now, telling the public and has written his own book, and I encourage people to read that book to find out more. And I'm not benefiting from that. I didn't publish the book, and I'm not getting paid a dollar.
Now, what's the name of this book, if you know that one?
You know, I didn't research that, but if you search for, absolutely, you can find it from just the name Hunt and the JFK assassination on Google. But there's no reason for E. Howard Hunt, who was basically outed as a CIA employee by Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward as being in charge of Watergate, or at least, you know, high up in control of the Watergate break-in. There's no reason for him to confess to this on his deathbed unless it was true. I mean, I don't think anybody tells lies as they're dying.
No, I don't think so either. What did President Ford, are these some of the things that he brought up to you that changed your mind?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
Or are these things that, you know, you've come up with since then after hearing and reading what he had to say?
Well, the quick answer is no. And in fact, the Ford family is a little bit miffed at me. They no longer return my phone calls because I have become a believer in what Gerald Ford went to his grave saying was not the case. Gerald Ford went to his grave saying that the Warren Commission had it totally correct. Now, that's pretty incredible, especially when you consider that multiple members of the Warren Commission itself, after they served and before they died, they also told publicly that they thought the commission got it wrong and that their primary purpose at the time was to ease the fears of the nation and not to lead us into World War III. There was a much bigger motivating factor here than simply finding out who was the guilty of the assassination of the president. Although that's obviously a huge and a very important thing, the Warren Commission's primary duty was to keep us away from World War III. And had there been involvement with the Cubans or Russia, that could have easily led to World War III. And in addition to the other members of the Warren Commission recanting, even President Ford, he was the primary author of the Warren Commission itself. And in this new book that he and I worked on together for that year, he admits for the first time that the CIA did destroy documents. Now, that is one of the smoking gun for me that caused my eyebrows to raise and my mind to begin opening. Because in the Warren Commission, it looked into it, and it said that the CIA did not destroy documents. And so there we have a direct clash of facts. Number two, why did the CIA have a file on John F. Kennedy anyway? The CIA is supposed to only have operations outside the country, not internally. And what we've found out since is that the CIA was breaking the law and doing work and having operations inside the United States, especially surveilling people like President Kennedy before he was president, and also Martin Luther King and other figures like that working hand-in-hand with the FBI. And if you want to know one more big point that has caused me to believe in the conspiracy theory, just 5 or 6 years ago, you may remember that the CIA released to the general public what they had called the family jewels. And those were the files that the media knew existed, but the CIA finally admitted it was true that the CIA did attempt to kill Fidel Castro more than once, and that they did kill other foreign leaders. And all of those files were released, but at the time they said, we're going to give you all these files, but we're not going to give you one file. And that's the John F. Kennedy file. And most important about that is that that file was held back from the Clinton committee, who Bill Clinton appointed, to look into the CIA files, and they were never shown that file. So So this information was withheld from Bill Clinton's select committee appointed specifically to look into the Kennedy assassination. And Congress passed a law 10 years ago instructing the CIA to release this file. And for 10 years, the CIA has been battling that decision in court and still defying Congress and defying American presidents, still will not release this file.
Well, you said that the file was destroyed, right? Is this the same file?
No. What President Ford writes about in the book is that the CIA began destroying documents from the file. It's apparently a massive file. But what President Ford did, he explained it away by saying that CIA agents, as soon as they heard about the assassination, began to frantically shred pieces of paper. And then apparently at some point later, we don't know how many pages were destroyed, but at some point later, their superiors said stop. So much of the information is still available in the files, was not destroyed, but we do know that some of the information was destroyed. These files must be massive.
Is this the information about these files being shredded? Is this something that he had wanted to redact it from his original book, or was something that was included in his book?
It's a great question, and that's really the shocker. That part President Ford agreed to remain in the original book, and that's what really hasn't gotten the attention of the mainstream media, that President Ford has, until this book, always taken the position publicly that the CIA did not destroy information. But he admits it is true that they did destroy documents, but he does downplay it and say that these were individual CIA agents not acting upon the orders of their superiors, which I find hard to believe, by the way. But he admits that files were destroyed. But the Warren Commission says that nothing was destroyed.
I mean, even if Lee Harvey Oswald shoots Kennedy, even if all that, why are they destroying stuff in the first place? If I'm at my house,
they have a file on it.
Well, first off, you go there. Then second off, why are they destroying stuff? I mean, if I go home and I start shredding stuff, it's not for a good reason, usually.
Exactly.
I mean, no matter what, I'm trying to hide something. So.
That's exactly right. Just use your common sense and logic, and that's what I did to become a conspiracy believer, exactly.
So now, who does he think did this? Does he think that the CIA itself, because they're not looking good right now in this. Does he think the CIA, someone in the CIA, not the whole, wanted him dead, or someone else?
The mafia, or, I mean, these are all rumors
communists,
that have been floating around.
These are all. Lyndon Johnson, I think, has been floated as a, it's so many different, it's a huge conspiracy all over the place.
You're exactly right, and there are so many facts mixed with incorrect statements that it's really hard to determine which one is true and which ones are not. But what I would point to is work from it from reverse order, now going backwards, which means start at E. Howard Hunt, and take his confession and then work backwards, or you can start it from 1963 and look forward, meaning that in 1963, LBJ was being investigated by his own U.S. Senate for corruption and bribery, and they literally met the day before the assassination. And we know that LBJ was not going to be on John F. Kennedy's ticket in 1964. So the person who benefited the most would have been LBJ, but especially those around him. Anytime you're the President of the United States, you have close associates who really benefit financially. Exactly. And the escalation of the Vietnam War was key. Remember that on the Warren Commission, LBJ appointed people that he could easily, well, at least some, he could easily control. If you look at who was on the Warren Commission, most of the members were Southern congressional members, and LBJ was the most powerful man in the U.S. Senate and the Congress, so he had great control of those people, plus Alan Dulles, who was the CIA director that John F. Kennedy fired because of the Bay of Pigs fiasco. So not only do you have people that LBJ could control, but you have people who run the commission who hated John F. Kennedy because Kennedy wanted to get America out of Vietnam, but LBJ and his associates wanted America's involvement to increase. And because LBJ was president at the time of the assassination, he became president, not only did that investigation stop looking into LBJ being a crook, America's involvement 1 year later escalated tremendously with the advent of a company called Brown & Root, which was later merged to become Halliburton. And we all now know Halliburton.
Oh, but you just touched a nerve with me on that one, boy.
And me too. So they were awarded a $1 billion contract. And $1 billion in 1964 was like 30, 40 billion today.
Yeah.
But that company was given the first $1 billion contract to drain the swamps of Vietnam, kind of summarizing it. And that money would have never been spent by the American government. Our tax dollars would have never been spent but for the assassination of JFK. Now, if you want to look at it, the other approach, start with E. Howard Hunt working backwards in time. What E. Howard Hunt says is that John F. Kennedy was assassinated as payback because Bobby Kennedy was so aggressively going against the mafia, even extraditing the mafia leader of New Orleans, who, by the way, comes back into the country quietly after the assassination. And it's also accepted now that without the mafia's help, John F. Kennedy would not have been elected president.
Yeah.
Just because Kennedy carried Illinois.
Yep.
That meant the difference in the election, and Illinois for sure had enough illegal votes made by the mafia that caused Kennedy to be elected. And the other figure in the background of all this is J. Edgar Hoover. Hoover knew that President Kennedy had been elected president with the help of the mafia. So in CIA Director Hoover's mind, and in the minds of all these other conspirators, would call them, they were not assassinating a president. They were killing a person who was in the White House illegally. So think about it from that perspective, and then it doesn't, in their minds, I'm sure they felt justified in doing this horrible act.
They felt like they were patriots.
Isn't it funny, too, how it keeps coming back to Illinois? That Illinois, I mean, once again, we've got all of this controversy about the election in Illinois, and it's
amazing.
It's you know, everybody knows that Illinois politics has been about as corrupt as you can ever, you know, get. It's just astounding. But this Halliburton thing, I'm not kidding. That really hit home, because since the advent of the Iraq War, you know, who has been benefiting from all of this? Halliburton. They're the only ones, too, that have been really making money hand over fist with the whole war thing.
Well, I know.
I got to tell you this.
Sure, go ahead.
Because Halliburton got in so much trouble with the media 2 and 3 years ago,
yeah,
they have actually lost some government contracts. And guess what company now is moving in to fill that vacuum?
Oh, I have no clue. Tell me this one.
Brown and Root.
Oh,
pretty amazing. And yeah. Go back to Chicago politics and Illinois politics for a moment.
Uh-huh.
Coincidentally, when Hillary Clinton was campaigning in the primary here in Tennessee, running against Senator Obama, she was asked and made a pledge that if she was elected, she would release, she would make sure that the CIA file on the Kennedy assassination was released to the public. Barack Obama, to my knowledge, has never been asked that question. So he has not taken a position on it, and it's really difficult because the mainstream media out there either is turning their head, or after 40 years of just hitting their heads against the wall, they have given up on this issue.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are starting to say, you know, why does it matter? You know, why? I mean, I think they even asked me that this morning on the morning show, and I did the promo. You know, why does it matter? And my answer is, you know, this is the event that caused Americans to start losing, you know, faith in their government. Yeah. This is,
you're exactly right.
This is the thing that made us grow up.
It did. It, you know, and it changed the nation. I mean, there's a singular, you know, 9/11 was a singular moment. You know, JFK assassination, that's another one. Even going further back, you know, the assassination of Lincoln. I mean, these rest up there, and that's why this is important. We have to know the truth.
Yeah.
And we cannot be truly a democracy when our government keeps secrets from our people. Now, obviously, there's an exception to that. National security, I totally understand that. But a file from 45, 46 years ago, even if you have to redact, you know, a few statements, there's no reason in a democracy like ours that those secrets should be kept from us. We have to be able to become secure enough to know the truth that the American people deserve to know that truth. And that information should get out there. And I call on President-elect Obama to do that. I know he's got lots of other issues to deal with, but once and for all, you know, President Clinton really tried to get the information out there, and the CIA snookered him by not showing his select committee the real file. Well, now we know the CIA has the real file, and it's time for the president to get that file released to the public. Let's get over it. And exactly what you said, the government makes people feel the opposite of empowered when they do things like this. We would feel it might be tragic for a while. We might be disappointed, but in the end, it would make us a stronger nation if these secrets were told to all of us, and we all have a right to know.
Well, I think that was the turning point in us not believing our government in anything.
Exactly.
And now, you know, so many things have come out in the last 40 years that really, you know, nothing is concrete. We're never given all of the truth. But along with every fable that comes out of the government, there has to be a kernel of truth to it. And thinking people have come to realize that. And you're right. If we're not told the truth, part of them, you know, and them, I mean, you know, government officials and that kind of thing, say that we're either not strong enough, smart enough, or clever enough to deal with this stuff. Don't be my mind anymore. I'm tired of it.
Don't be your mommy.
I like you too, Tim. This has just been so enlightening. I was looking forward to it all day, but, wow, I didn't know you were going to push so many buttons on me.
Well, see, I've just been sitting quietly. I'm sucking it up. I love it.
Well, if Obama says, you know, change that we can believe in, maybe that's one of the changes we need to do. It looks like we're running out of time. I want to make sure we get your websites and stuff in here. Flatsigned.com, that's FlatSigned.com, and PresidentGeraldFordBook.com, is that correct?
That's right. You can actually go directly to the information on the President Ford book by going to PresidentGeraldFordBook.com, and your listeners can go there and read more about the book and see pictures of both of the books. And there's also a $100 discount there for your listeners available tonight. But the homepage for my company, Flat Sign Press, is the word flat sign, which Stephen King coined 20 years ago. And he gave me permission to use it to start my company in 1998. So
that's cool.
With an EV on the end, FlatSigned. That EV is hard to hear on the radio.
Yeah. Tim, I would love to have you back on with us because this is just so fascinating. If the next little kernel of truth comes out that they deem appropriate to give us, can we give you a call and get you back on?
Be great. I was on one of the national news television networks yesterday talking about the comparison between the Carter administration and the Obama administration. So anytime you want someone who has knowledge of history on the presidency, give me a call. I'd love to be back on. I was actually a White House press correspondent during the Carter administration, so I've got lots of interesting things to talk with you about. And I've really enjoyed being with you guys.
Oh, well, thanks. We enjoyed having you.
Along with that, we'd like to have you back on to really get deep inside of what happened with the JFK assassination. Really just tear it apart. We really want to get onto it.
See, these guys are young, Tim. They didn't live through it. We did. So
maybe you guys and the ones listening right now can be the ones that literally evoke a change and get President Obama to agree that this file must be released. And if we can accomplish that, then that will be our part in making this country a better democracy forever.
Well, that's what we want.
That sounds great.
Let's do it.
Tim, thank you very much. You. We're going to make sure we have your websites up on our website, whispersradio.com, and we will have you back on.
Thank you both very, very much. Have a wonderful evening and rest of the week.
You as well. You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lola, you really seem to enjoy this one.
You laughed, you cried, you fell in love. You make it sound like a bad movie trailer.
I'm sorry.
We lived it, though. Yeah. I was young.
I was going to say, how old were you? And do you want to tell us how old you were when this happened?
I was 11.
You were 11?
I was 11 when he was
assassinated. You had been in school that day, so you probably watched it at school. I know a couple of people that said they watched, they had the...
Did they have TVs?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Come over here and hit him. I'll talk while you do it.
I know.
But they were talking about, that they would bring in the TV cart, to watch it. And
we all went into the gym, and there was a TV up in the... Wow. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember more so the reaction when I got home. Mm-hmm. My family and my sister and brother. My sister, I don't know that she probably remembers some of it, but more because she's heard about it than actual memory. And my brother was still, pretty small, but...
My mom just text messaged me saying she wasn't even born yet.
What are you trying to do to Lola?
Lola knows how deep my love is.
So next week we'll be back with me and Lola.
Yeah.
Jordan will have funeral.
We'll have to have Amanda come in, and he could come from spirit world.
Lola's going to
take
you
out. This has been a question. And if you listen to George's show, now George is a staunch believer that there was no conspiracy, that Oswald did it alone. He refuses to entertain any other thought.
Well, he was even saying, Jordan was listening earlier, that there was other members of the Warren Commission alive. We actually checked.
Arlen Specter, I think, was one of them.
I don't think he was. There was the last person before Ford was... I had it earlier because I looked them all up. He died in 1989.
Like, yeah. So, George yelled at me. I'm not yelled like that, but as I was walking in...
Did he make
me cry? For Todd's show. He mentioned a name, and I don't...
I believe you were right.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, and because I was listening to George's show when he was going on, and he said that, and I ran to my computer and was looking it up, because here's another reason, because when we had Bill Nell on not too long ago, there's a big thing going around now that he's a big fan.
And I'm going to call him, because I think...
Remind me again who that
was. He was a UFO guy.
That's
what he called himself. Bill Nell, the UFO guy.
He helped with movies, The Fifth Element.
That guy.
Saying that it came out, he was never on any news shows, he was never on any...
Is he the Australian? No,
that was Jared White.
It's getting so confusing.
Lola doesn't pay attention.
We'll point you in the right direction, but we're thinking about calling, maybe giving him a chance to defend himself. But we're going to be harsh with him. If he wants to clear his name, I'm thinking about maybe
because you don't come on Whispers Radio and make a fool out of Jordan.
That's right.
I would just...
We have a reputation to defend. Yeah. No, and that's really good. That's really promo. And then people that are...
I'm going to give him a call first. I haven't had a chance, but I've been getting some emails today. Somebody did that. So, real quick, members of the Warren Commission, Earl Warren, Richard Russell Jr., John Sherman Cooper, Hal Boggs, Gerald R. Ford, Alan Dulles, and John J. McCoy, which was, I think, the one before... Gerald Ford died, so it was not hard.
Maybe he was like a junior or something.
Yeah, maybe he had something to do with it.
Because he would have been awfully young then, too.
Yeah, these were the main members, though.
of the commission
yes. I don't see any other names here. I'm going to look into that.
All right, Nikki, our time is, yes, is drawing nigh. Who we got
wait,
next
there's
week?
One other thing. Oh, okay. I wanted to add, and I just didn't think about it. I wanted to ask him, since we're talking conspiracy, does he actually believe, and did Gerald Ford believe, that, what's his name, was a lone gunman?
I believe Gerald
because
Ford,
that's one thing that's always really.
Well, what he's saying is that, you know, he was just the patsy. He was just a face that they stuck to him.
Gerald Ford, really, he said, believed that the Warren Commission was totally correct, that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. That's what he went, you know. I
but
guess
he was just, he, they had him do it, and then they let him get caught.
The Warren Commission believes that he did it all on his own. What he, Kim Miller's saying is that, you know, these facts that Gerald Ford put in his book, his conversations with Gerald Ford, has led him to believe otherwise, that it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald, that it was
the mafia or the CIA.
They were the
muscle behind it. They were
very
the brains
good,
behind it.
They led
but
him.
He actually did the shooting and everything by himself.
Because if Oswald came into the country, he would have had to have had some way of getting back in from Russia. I mean, you don't just walk in.
Well, no, I you know, I
you can't just walk here from Russia
or from Mexico or anywhere. I mean,
I know they would have had FBI on him.
Oh, yeah,
flies on stink. You know,
not from Russia. Then.
I almost hit the mute button.
From the Soviet Union at that point.
I did button myself too much.
You did a good job, but no, from during the Cold War that wouldn't have happened. So that, you know.
No, but he did bring up the Zapruder film, and that points to someone being in front of the motorcade, which would mean there were two, Oswald and somebody in front.
Yeah, he said, if I remember correctly, he said that it would be very impossible for somebody to shoot off that many rounds and miss so many times. And
well, he said it was possible, but I mean, you're talking right at the limit. I mean, it's...
Well, have you ever been there? Have you been to Daly Plaza, either one of you?
No.
It is so small.
Really?
I'm not kidding. When you get, you know, I think because such a monumental thing happened there that you just have this perception that it must be really big.
Yeah.
It's not. It is really, really, it's no bigger than, take the, like, in the stone building in the plaza behind it, but that all, perhaps that would fit with a little extra room, but that's what the park, that's about the size of the park. And the road came in and kind of went in a square around it. It's really small. And the book depository is it's a tall building, but I think it just, in our minds, all of this has gotten so big. And
oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of the first things I remember growing up was going into the paranormal world, JFK assassination, all that theory, because my grandmother had a newspaper from that day, and UFOs. And you hear so much about it. When I was in high school in North Carolina, there's a janitor there, and his job on the side was researching this. And they actually gave him, I think it was the 11th or 12th of this high school, Westboro High School, the opportunity every year, an hour and a half, to present his findings. And he had the film, he had all this stuff. He dedicated his life to it. That was his. I remember he had this. He was a big guy. I mean, I think he was bigger than me. That's saying a lot. And he drove this Beetle. And on the back of the Beetle, the license plate was "Who killed JFK?" You know, and that's and that was what he. And that was his life. And he dedicated it to it. And he had all this evidence. He didn't believe that it was. I think he said that it was the CIA linked in with. You know, that was his theory going into it. And that's the one that, you know, I've grown up believing. And then a couple years back, I think they started talking about the Lyndon Johnson connection. So I think...
Yeah, I never heard that. That was very
interesting. Well, Lyndon Johnson, there was no love lost between Lyndon Johnson.
No,
the audacity of this young kid, you know.
Yeah, but he was only on the ticket to get the Southern States. That was the only reason that they picked him.
Because he thought he should have been. I think he ran against him in the primary, if I remember correctly. And then, and then they connect, you know, they gave him that. It was a mess. So.
Wow, that was just that.
We'll have to get some more JFK stuff.
Yeah,
it's an interesting subject.
Nikki, who we got?
Next week we have Frank Fascino Jr. coming back with us. He's got some books coming out. What are you giving me this look for?
Okay, Frank wrote the book.
Blind Saucers Are Real. No. Or no.
The Air Awards of 1952.
Oh, okay. All right.
Flying Saucers Are Real, that was...
That was a movie.
Shoot 'em Down, Flying Saucer Air Awards, 1952. And
the Braxton County Monster,
the Ogilvy crash
in Ogilvy.
Yeah. So he's going to be coming back. He's got a couple books coming out.
Maybe some announcements.
Maybe some announcements. We're trying to clear everything up. I was actually on the phone with him right before I came on the show. That's why we were late rushing in here. So it's going to be fun.
What day are we on next week?
Next week is Wednesday. Yeah, let's clarify that real quick. Because of basketball season here in the Valley, our show schedule is kind of off. We got Thursday this week, of course, Wednesday next week, the Thursday after that, the Wednesday after that, and then every Wednesday in February, except for the last week, which will be a Thursday. Try to remember that one. We're going to have that on our website, just to clarify. If you miss a show because of the scheduling, we have them on our website recorded after the show.
Speaking of websites, we have a blog on the WKKX website.
Yes, you do.
I got to learn how to blog. I used to be a blogger all the time. I was actually talking to me about my blog way back in the day. Steve interviewed me, San Diego Tribune, all this stuff. I got to learn how to blog like socially.
He tried to write one, and it sounded like
business thing.
Wow, that's business.
I'm into the business atmosphere mood. I don't know what's wrong with me. I have
never blogged. I will probably never blog. I have no desire to blog.
Well, you would be a great blogger. You have so much emotion in you.
Oh. And opinions.
Opinions. All you have to do to blog, and I should be talking to myself, not even just type, you just think of something, you get mad about it, and you just start ranting.
See, that's a Kelly blogs on
George
MySpace, and I bet hers are really funny, too.
Just like, I hate men, and just go for it.
Listen to the first choice he picked.
I will give you some room to blog about Jordan and I if you want. I'll give you my username and password.
All right. We are so out of here now, you guys.
All right, everybody. All right. We'll be on Wednesday next week. Until then, remember, don't be afraid, only believe.